welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you'll give me a second, people, we'll do the show, but I've got to get this password down to get on the internet. Devin, I had it going on there, and then I ran out of music to intro the show. Do you know what you're doing, Devin? Devin Patrick, our producer this week, has got the password to get us on the internet here. Good night. There's 18 characters. How many? Well, here's what I don't understand. Good morning, Fred Jackson. Good morning, Ed Tagliano. Good morning, listeners, and I apologize for that unprofessionalism, if that's what it was. I do have a question, and I don't know who to ask.
And I know the question is, but go ahead.
And admittedly, I am the boss here.
So yes.
The buck stops with me, but I have to ask my subordinates here. Why in the world do we need a password to get on the internet in the studio? Is somebody going to break into our internet
and surf the web?
Especially since
to get in here, we have pretty good security getting in here.
You got to get through three layers.
Yeah.
And then if you get back here to get on our laptop, you're going to need a password, by golly. Anyway, I don't get it. A mystery of life. All right. Welcome, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. It is Tuesday. What's the date, Fred?
The date today is July 9, all day.
Wow. July, the year is racing on.
It sure is.
And it's summertime in the South where we live. It's 90, 92, 93 with humidity index of 1,005.
I saw a great meme. Someone posted it on Facebook, and it was a guy, I don't know who it was a weatherman from some community, saying the temperature today is going to be 97, the heat index is going to be 107, and then there was a guy underneath it saying, well, then it's going to be 107. Just say that.
You know, it's funny, we're talking about weather, and it's a favorite topic. Mm-hmm. We have a convenience store in our neighborhood. And it's run by a family from India.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was complaining about the weather the other day.
Yeah.
All right. And she says it's terrible here in Mississippi. She said back home in India, it's hot, but we don't have the humidity. That
really?
Blew me away.
I didn't know that either.
And she said we actually have cold weather. She knows I'm from Canada. She said we have in parts of India cold weather. But she says it's hot, but she says you don't have the humidity there that you have here in Mississippi.
Mm.
And it is
sick, man. July and August, and it's this way probably from East Texas all the way over to South Carolina. You just every day I feel like I'm living in a William Faulkner novel. You know, huh? You walk around. Huh?
That is a great line.
Good night.
That really is.
But you still play golf.
Yeah. Well, I play golf.
I need me a mint julep. Why, Terrence,
Fred, don't,
please
Fred.
Get me a fan.
Okay, Fred, I'm going to tell you something, but you can't tell my wife.
Okay.
Allison.
All right.
And she knows this already, but I don't like to remind her of it.
Okay.
Okay, I've told you this before, but she, you know, occasionally, and she doesn't ask a lot of me, but she wants me to do yard work in the summertime. In fact, we just got to do a lot of pine straw, but anyway, I tell her, you know, honey, it's too hot to do yard work. I could pass out there, you know. I mean, I know you get the life insurance, but I mean, for me, it's a bad deal. So it's too hot to do yard work. So I think I'm just going to go golf, you know, and take it easy. So anyway, she doesn't ever get the, wait a minute. You're still outside and you're hitting a ball.
I think she probably gets it.
Think she gets it? I think so.
Yeah.
All right, Fred, good morning, and everybody. And if, Ed, before Fred gets to the great news of the day. I'm sure it'll be great. Tell our listeners how they can engage on the show here.
Well, listen, obviously, if you're listening, either on the app or on your radio. But if you'd like to watch us, you can go to either Facebook or YouTube and type in Today's Issues. And you can watch us, or you can watch the live stream on AFR.net if you're near your computer.
Mm-hmm. And we post the stories that we talk about.
The stories will be posted. And so you say, wow, I'd like to read more about that. You just go there and click the link. And
all right, Fred, what's happening?
Well, we just found out in the last few minutes that Ross Perot has passed away at age 89. He just got sick very recently, had a sickness. He kind of recovered from it, kept coming in the office, but his family put out an announcement this morning. Passed away at the age of 89. And I guess for most of our listeners, he came on the scene as a challenger to George W. Bush in 1992. Took about 19% of the votes.
I think cost him the reelection.
Yes,
exactly. Bill Clinton became president.
Yep. And he was a great – the reason he came on board, decided to run, he wasn't happy with the fiscal policies of the Republicans of George W. Bush.
He made his money – he was a billionaire, right?
Yeah. He was a billionaire.
He made his money
kind of a high-tech company, and then he sold it to General Electric for about $2.5 billion. So that's one of the areas he made his money.
Did he start the company?
He did. He founded Electronic Data Systems Corporation in 1962. I'm reading here from a DallasNews.com story. And then Perot Systems Corporation 26 years later.
Yeah.
He was the first... I think I'm right. He's the first billionaire or person who basically self-funded his campaign, his own presidential campaign. He was Donald Trump before Donald Trump.
Right.
Yeah.
In terms of a billionaire who was able to fund his own campaign. Mm-hmm. Quite a character. I just remember, you know, for those of us who remember when he was... he was on TV all the time.
Yeah.
With his charts.
In fact, he bought... television time, remember, to show
CNN,
his,
I think.
Yeah, to show his charts. His charts.
Yeah. He was, was it NAFTA? NAFTA that drove him?
He hated NAFTA.
Yeah.
He said it's going to be a great big sucking sound as our jobs leave the country.
Does that sound familiar?
Well, yeah. That's
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
Yep. The other thing is about Ross Perot, I just never will forget, he would do these about... Seemed like once a month he would do these interviews with Larry King.
Yeah.
Oh, he
loved
these
Larry
things?
King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, they were kind of opposites in terms of their, you know, I don't know where Larry King was from, New York maybe, and there's no doubt Ross Perot was from Texas.
Texas.
But I just remember Ross Perot would always say, Larry?
Yeah, yeah.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Larry, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Anyway,
he had this very distinct accent. Yeah. He was just 5'6", and
is that right?
Yeah, but worth billions.
Yeah, he was a great American success story there. So he passed away this morning.
Passed away this morning.
Leukemia.
Married to the same woman for 60 years.
Yeah.
And one of the things they said in the obituary that I read this morning was that he did everything possible to be home every night for a family meal.
Yeah.
Family meal was sacred to him. And so he just, no matter what was going on in his life, he was going to try to be home in the evening and to be with his family.
Yeah.
Now, he was a fiscal conservative, but he was not a social conservative. He was a big supporter of Planned Parenthood and abortion and gay rights. And so
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know the gay rights part of it.
Well, probably later on in life, because I don't think gay rights was the homosexual civil rights movement has been going on since 1969. But in 1992, it was not really on everyone's radar. So I'm guessing that was later in life. But
yeah.
He was a patriot and a fiscal conservative, but it always knocks someone down a few pegs, more than a few pegs in my sight, if he's a supporter of Planned Parenthood.
Absolutely.
So,
yep.
You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Hey, one other story real quickly, and then we'll get to our interview with Frank. Did you see where the founder of the Black Entertainment Television Network, Robert Johnson. That name, I think Mr. Johnson's himself talking about it's big in our here day here on today's issues. Anyway, he said talking about the Democratic Party. Of course, he's an African American man. He said the party, the Democrat Party, in my opinion, for me, he says, for me personally, has moved too far to the left.
Wow.
And to quote,
what we were talking about yesterday, is he referring to the candidates or just over the years?
No, he's talking about the Democrat. Well, I think the Democrat Party today,
yeah,
as represented by the
wow
parade of
well, he's a businessman.
Yeah.
He's a businessman.
Right.
And the Democratic Party does not have a business plan.
Right. Well, they do, but it's to take money away from guys like.
Listen to what he said as well. I don't think he's going to be appearing on the stage with any leading Democrat candidates anytime soon.
Disavowed by CNN.
Yeah, but Robert Johnson, again, the founder of BET, Black Entertainment Television, he says, "I think the economy is doing great, and in particular, reaching populations that heretofore." I like this man already. Had very bad problems in terms of jobs and employments and the opportunities that come with employment. Quote, and then he said, quote, African American unemployment is at its lowest level. And then he said, I give the president a lot of credit for moving the economy in a positive direction and benefiting a large amount of Americans.
Wow.
End of quote. So get ready, Mr. Johnson, because you're about to be called Uncle Tom.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because he gave any kind of praise at all to the president.
Right.
And he said the Democratic Party is too far to the left. So, anyway, he's a well-known businessman and longtime Democrat. He is Robert Johnson. So that's very interesting. Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're going to introduce our guest, yes, but our guest is going to be talking about something that I want to tell you this story before we go to our guest, okay?
Okay.
St. Louis Park is a suburb of Minneapolis. Last month, the city council there voted 5-0 to do away with saying the pledge before they opened the city council meetings.
Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance. This is what they said. They felt led to do away with the pledge, voted 5-0. On it, due to concerns that some residents in the, quote, increasingly diverse community, end quote, might find it unwelcoming. So in order to, they bowed the knee to the crowd that preaches tolerance, but apparently can't tolerate the saying of the Pledge of Allegiance.
Right. And this is America after all, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So well, so people who, you know, a lot of Somalis in the Minneapolis area,
mm-hmm,
they come to this country, mm-hmm, and they're really...
And they come to this country because of what the country is.
Right.
A place of opportunity.
So they're really shocked that people who live here like this country,
yeah,
and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
I can't believe they're shocked.
It might offend them to hear the Pledge of Allegiance. Anyway, the update, last night they had a city council meeting. 100 people showed up with American flags saying, we're not going to tolerate your nonsense.
We're not going to tolerate your intolerance.
Your intolerance.
Well, I wish we had somebody to talk about that, about tolerance.
Yeah.
Can we find somebody?
I think
somebody?
We do, Ed. I think we have Dr. Frank Turek. Very tolerant man.
Yes, very tolerant.
From Charlotte, N.C. He's the president and founder of Cross Examined Ministries and has a weekend show here on American Family Radio and a very popular podcast. Good morning, Frank.
You're going to tolerate my opinion?
Yeah. Well, we invited you on, so I guess we are.
All right.
Unless we disagree with you, in which case we will...
Shut me down?
We'll shadow ban you from Facebook.
Okay.
Do we have that kind of power?
No, okay. We don't. Unfortunately.
All right. Good morning, Frank. How you doing, brother?
I am doing just swell. How's everyone there?
We're doing sweltering.
All right.
How we're doing.
How's your golf game?
My golf game.
Is it out of tolerance?
My golf game, you know, that's a relative question. That's moral relativism right there. So yesterday it was, after work was a really good day for me. I always score pretty well when I play by myself. I don't know. It's just coincidental how this works out. It's just like nobody's around, and I can really do well.
And you know, I noticed, Tim, that when you have the fastest golf cart, you never have a bad lie.
Do you notice that?
I noticed that.
Mulligans aplenty. Did you hear that story that Fred just shared?
I did, yes.
What do you think about that?
Well, I wonder what kind of oath the city council members took when they took office. What do you think? What was the oath they took?
To uphold the Constitution?
I would assume. I mean, that's the oath that we take in the military. That's normally the oath we take, I think, when we get some sort of public office, to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. You know, that whole pledge. Yeah. And typically, when you take allegiance to the Constitution, that would imply that, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance would be something appropriate to say, right? I mean, you're in government here in the United States. Who are you going to pledge to? The Somali government? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, as you said, Fred, I mean, why do people come here? They come here because it's a land of opportunity, the land of freedom, because we have essential ideals that have withstood the test of time. I saw David Barton recently talking about the fact that the average age of a constitution in the world is 17 years. Wow. 17 years. We're at 232 right now. Mm. And I think it's for good reason. Now, unfortunately, many people don't seem to want to adhere to the Constitution, but that's what's got us thus far. We grounded our rights in God, and we came up with a Constitution that allowed us to have objective moral values grounded in God, but also the ability to have religious and political freedom.
Well, Frank, let me ask you this. Let's bring this discussion to the kind of original theme that Fred mentioned, and that was tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
What does that word mean? It's thrown around a lot. What does it mean to be tolerant? And let me just ask you, are Christians supposed to be tolerant? Because it sounds like something that's good. You know, you're giving consideration to other people. That seems like what Christians are supposed to be, right?
Yeah, Christians are commanded to be loving, which goes beyond tolerance. Tolerance says hold your nose and put up with them. Love says reach out and help them. And the way that you help people is sometimes to stand in the way of evil that they want to do or evil being done on them. That's what you can't tolerate. You see, if you make tolerance your top virtue, then you'll wind up tolerating evil. And that's not loving. You can't tolerate evil. We shouldn't have tolerated Hitler, obviously. We shouldn't have tolerated racism or slavery, or we shouldn't have tolerated these things. Everybody has to draw a line somewhere. And I've noticed the people that often say they're fighting for tolerance are quite often the most intolerant people out there. I know personally, I wrote this book called Correct, Not Politically Correct, How Same-Sex Marriage Hurts Everyone. And I was actually fired from a couple of companies. This goes back to 2011. Not that I brought this book up at work, but because I had written it, they couldn't tolerate it. And they couldn't quite understand, despite the fact that they kept teaching, or preaching anyway, inclusion, tolerance, and diversity, that I was upset because I was not tolerated for holding a diverse view. And you see, everybody excludes the opposite of the value they may hold. The people who say they're fighting for tolerance, particularly in the LGBT community, they don't tolerate people that think that their religious upbringing or their moral principles would require them to not, say, participate in a same-sex wedding. Those LGBTQ people, at least the ones that are activists, won't tolerate people who disagree with them on that point. So everybody's not tolerating something. Right?
Right.
The question is, what should you tolerate and what shouldn't you tolerate?
All right. Yeah, I had forgotten, by the way, Frank, that you had, can I mention the company's name that you got fired?
Oh, yeah, it was Cisco and Bank of America, those two companies. And there's actually on our website, crossexamine.org, an article I wrote about it called Sex at Work. Now, do not Google sex at work, okay? Don't Google that. Go to crossexamine.org and click on the search bar there, and you'll find that article, and I basically explain what happened there.
Yeah.
Okay, why is it that the secular world tells Christians we're supposed to be tolerant of everything, or intolerance is a is not good, and yet they don't tolerate our views. Why is that, though?
It's a double standard, Tim. And I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to use morality to get us to celebrate immorality. That's a common tactic, right? No, you know, no, nobody ever goes out there and says we ought to do evil to one another. At least they won't say that, but they will somehow try and advance their immoral position under the guise of morality. They'll use words like equality. Mm-hmm. They'll use words like justice. They'll use words like tolerant. And I mean, everybody should be for equality, right? Everybody should be for justice. Everybody should be tolerant, right? And so it kind of silences people, despite the fact that the very people who are claiming that don't tolerate things that they disagree with. So again, the question isn't should we be tolerant necessarily? The question should be, what should we tolerate and what shouldn't we tolerate? Because everybody has to not tolerate certain things they think are harmful or evil. And that's just goes back to the very question, what is good and what is evil? And without a standard outside of ourselves, somebody, the people on the other side are atheists, I can't see how they come up with an objective standard. If God does not exist, there's nothing ultimately good or bad. Everything's just a matter of opinion. But if God does exist, then we should line up with him and tolerate things that are good and maybe not tolerate, obviously, things that are evil.
Did you say you've written a column or a book on this that people can go to?
Oh, well, the book's called Correct, Not Politically Correct.
And get it where?
No, they can get it at Amazon if Amazon still tolerates it. Although, have you noticed just yesterday that Amazon has taken down books written by Joseph Nicolosi, the famous doctor who pointed out that there are ways to get rid of unwanted same-sex attractions? They took that down. They couldn't tolerate that. And they took down other books that are written by people who came out of the homosexual lifestyle, like Joe Dallas. They've taken down some of his books. They won't tolerate that anymore.
I don't understand why the other side, the pro-LGBTQ side, is so afraid of a debate or a discussion on this.
I don't know whether they're afraid or they're just bullies. I think they're just bullies. And I think that what Frank just mentioned about Amazon, I think that's going to happen more and more frequently.
Yep. I want people to be clear on what Frank just said, because they may not be familiar with that name.
Yeah, Joseph Nicolosi. He was the founder of NARTH, North America. What was a National Association of Reparative Therapy for Homosexuality?
Yeah, something like that.
And very, very smart man. But reparative therapy is a psychological approach to getting rid of unwanted same-sex attraction. Now, Nicolosi's been dead for a year or two, I think.
So he wrote books on this.
And I have a couple of them.
And you're saying Amazon has banned them?
Yeah, they
won't sell them.
Yeah,
there were complaints
because of the content.
The complaints, but from the LGBTQ community, and so they won't sell it. Listen, Robert Gagnon, who's a New Testament professor. We had him here at American Family Association and actually filmed for our American Cultural Institute series his defense of what the Bible says on homosexuality. He wrote a book about that. He said even though that book sold gangbusters, when he ran out of hardback versions of it, the publisher wouldn't publish anymore, even though it was a big seller. They said, we don't want to publish your book anymore because of the content. This is real.
They won't tolerate it in the name of inclusion, tolerance, and diversity.
Give me the name of the book to get again, because I want to read that.
Correct, Not Politically Correct, How Same-Sex Marriage Hurts Everyone. I'll send you a copy, Tim. Don't worry about it.
Dr. Frank Turek, T-U-R-E-K. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it, brother.
God bless you guys. See you.
Okay, Sandy Rios will be along in just a few minutes. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
You know, Americans have almost entirely forgotten their history, and I think Colin Kaepernick and Megan Rapinoe are examples of that. There are other things at play in them, no question about it. They have no idea what they're talking about.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
You know, the Bible talks about a place where the angels, or the heavenly hosts, appear to the shepherds in the fields announcing the birth of the Savior, Jesus Christ, in Bethlehem. Well, we go there during our tour of Israel. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Now, we can't be certain we're at the exact spot when we visit the shepherds' fields, but we do know it was either there, what we're looking at, or somewhere near there, where the shepherds received the news of the glory of our Savior being born in Bethlehem. If you want to go with us in March to Israel, please find out more information at the website twholyland.com, twholyland.com, or call 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5, for a free brochure, and we hope to see you on our tour of the Holy Land.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. The color of money. That story coming up. Truett McConnell University.
Hey, my name is Aaron Abbs. I am an undecided major, and I'm a freshman here at TMU. And as soon as I came here, I fell in love with the campus. Like, I knew, like, God was calling me to be here at TMU. And, you know, I couldn't get a better education than this. Like, professors who pray before class, who care about your spiritual walk with Christ. You are who you are, and they care about you.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today. White people who plan on attending the Afrofuture Festival in Detroit better bring along some extra cash. In order to ensure cultural equity, organizers say they plan to charge white festival goers more than black festival goers. Afrofuture justified their discrimination because they say white people can afford to pay more for tickets because of their proximity to wealth. They say it's about equity, not equality, and that's why they're charging white people double the price that black people are charged. Prepare for a new word to be inserted in the dictionary of the perpetually aggrieved crowd, cultural reparations. As ludicrous as it may be, don't be surprised if a good many woke white young people pay Afrofuture's higher ticket prices. They've been brainwashed to believe they've got privilege because of their skin color. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
CNN is reporting that there's going to be a pay-per-view event, a wrestling match between Nancy Pelosi and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Is that her name?
Yes, AOC, a name, not a condition.
So they're going to go at it. It's a pay-per-view, though, and it helped to raise money for Democrat candidates. So I'm surprised that Nancy Pelosi's going to try to take on this youthful newcomer.
I got to say, even though it's going to raise money for some Democrats, right. I'm paying the money for that ticket.
Yeah, it's...
Nancy Pelosi.
She's
got
a
some
veteran.
Moves.
She's a That's wily. Right. Do you call it wily?
Whoa, yeah, she's wily.
She's a wily veteran.
Yes.
Huh? You know, I mean, AOC may have her on age, but I think that Nancy Pelosi might make would get a headlock, just based on her experience.
The what's the old expression that experience and treachery will overcome youth and inexperience?
Yeah.
So Something like that.
I'm like you. I'm laying down the $49.95.
Maybe we can go in together so it won't raise too much
money.
Well,
that's true. Come over to the house.
Yeah, that's right. Grill some burgers.
Yeah, we'll do something like that. Fred, how you doing?
Not too bad.
You still with us?
I'm still here.
Okay, go ahead, Fred.
Every 10 years, the government of the United States does a census of the people. For years and years and years, that census has asked the person filling out that census, are you a citizen? Now, Barack Obama decided, I don't want to know that, whether you're a citizen or not living in this country. The Trump administration wants to put that question back on the census next year. Now, those who don't want that question on the census went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court didn't say you couldn't do it. They just didn't like kind of the reason that was given to court. So yesterday, the Attorney General, William Barr, said, well, probably today or tomorrow, I'm going to announce a plan that we can still put that census on the questionnaire next year. Well, Nancy Pelosi, we're just talking about Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, was asked yesterday to respond to that the Trump administration is going to push forward with trying to get that question of citizenship on the census. So here's Nancy Pelosi, and then we have a response to what Nancy Pelosi is about to say from Kellyanne Conway, presidential spokesman Kellyanne Conway. Cut number three.
But this is about keeping, make America white again. They want to make sure that people, certain people, are counted. It's really disgraceful.
Says the white woman standing next to the white woman at the podium, which of course I have no problem with. She's the speaker, but I don't even understand what she's saying. That was so incoherent. It really just makes no sense. It tells you what a very thin, specious argument they have.
So yeah, Nancy Pelosi says the real agenda of President Trump is to make America white again. And Kellyanne Conway says,
lies, and more lies. That's all we get from the left. I mean, that is a disgraceful, slanderous thing to say. Mm-hmm. Coming from a political party that does not want to uphold the law, and they don't want to uphold the law because they want political power. I'll just say this. Nancy Pelosi, I'm going to put this in her terms, okay? She doesn't care about quote-unquote brown people.
No.
Are we under any illusions here that she cares about, again, her way of putting it, the brown people coming up here from south of the border? No. Hispanic people, my opinion, I wouldn't trust Nancy Pelosi to keep your best interests at heart. She wants you here for one reason and one reason only, to vote Democrat. If you're a Hispanic person that votes Republican, you're not her kind of brown people either. Mm-hmm. That's what I think, because the Democrats are all about breaking people into groups, identity politics. That is the way they operate, and that is their strategy. Their strategy is divide and conquer. What a disgraceful thing coming from the Speaker of the House.
But you know, when you don't have any real policies that will resonate with the American people, the Democrats have been doing this a long time. It's the race card.
Let me ask you this, though. So you're telling me that this question was on the census prior to President Obama taking office, and then he took the question off?
Yeah.
And if he has, I didn't know that. And if he had the authority to take it off, why doesn't President Trump have the authority to add it back?
Because unfortunately, we have a justice system that's corrupted.
What's the question again on the census that the Democrats
are you a citizen of the United States?
What? Why would anybody object to that?
Well, here's
here's
the public reason the Democrats. Let me give you the public reason,
and then we'll give you the real reason.
Yeah, the Democrats are saying this might intimidate some people who get the census in a household.
What in the world is intimidating about that question?
Because then people will find out you're not a citizen and they'll come get you and deport you.
Well, not only that you're in the country illegally.
Right.
Hey, listen, I am not a citizen of the United States.
That's true.
I have a green card.
Yes.
I
have a green card. But, you know, the census comes to our household. I wouldn't hesitate to say I'm not a citizen.
Well, let me tell you the real reason why Democrats don't want that question. Mm. And that is because states get up their electoral college votes and their representatives to the U.S. House.
Yes.
Based on population.
Yes.
And if you have X number of tens of thousands of people in a state that are here illegally.
Yes.
But they're counted in the census.
Yes.
You increase your representation.
Yeah. And you also increase the amount of federal dollars that go to that district.
Right. That's why Democrats they don't want this question on there, because if you find out there are 2 million people in California who are here illegally, mm-hmm. and they are not counted in the census because they say I'm not a U.S. citizen, that then they lose votes.
Yep.
The question then would be, too, is why did President Obama take this question off the census?
For the opposite reason. He wanted, the Democratic Party over the last 10 years has basically said, well, not 10 years, because you have Chuck Schumer during the Obama administration actually talking against illegal immigration at that time. Mm-hmm. But the strategy has shifted for Democrats. They want people here illegally who more than likely are going to vote 2-1, maybe 3-1 Democrat. And so President Obama wanted those people counted in the census. So he took the question off.
Everything the Democrat Party does today favors no control at all on illegal immigration.
That's right.
Everything that they do, despite what they might say, although they're not even saying it hardly anymore, that they are for control of immigration into this country, everything they do, practically speaking, is in favor of just open borders.
Yes.
That's it. That's what they're for. And in fact, who was it that said that the other day? I think it was George Stephanopoulos or one of the mainstream news guys was saying this to, I know who it was. It was the mayor of San Antonio. What's his name? Castro?
Oh, and he's not the mayor of San Antonio anymore. You're talking about
former? He's former?
Yeah, he was.
He's a Democrat candidate. He was in the
Julian Castro.
He's secretary of
housing,
housing and urban development under President Obama.
He was
after he was mayor of San Antonio.
Former mayor of San Antonio. Anyway, he was asked about this, I'm forgetting who asked him, but it was Stephanopoulos or one of those, and they said, "Isn't what you're advocating?" For all practical purposes, open borders. And his answer was, no, we're still going to have people at the border. And, of course, they're just going to be stamping their hands.
Yeah.
You know, like you do at a nightclub, make sure you get in.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
You know, I guess maybe you have to put it under a light, you know, to ever show that you're legal. Anyway.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what I'm saying is the Democrats favor nothing of serious consequences to prevent people from pouring into our country.
Right.
Illegally, in fact. And so I do think it's going to be next year's election. Probably this whole question of illegal immigration into the U.S. is going to be at the top of the, it was last time around, but it's going to be at the top of the issues that the American people say I'm voting because of.
Right.
Obviously, and the polls show increasingly the American people want a secure border.
Right. I don't know how the Democrats pull back from this because they've staked their claims on open border. They've staked. They view that as this is a morally right thing to do, is to let everybody in who wants to come here. That's the road they've chosen, and so I don't know how. And you can't, if any of the Democrats dare breathe anything that says you're not for that position that I've just mentioned, then they're going to be branded a racist.
Well, that's what Nancy Pelosi was saying.
Yeah.
She was saying President Trump's real reason for wanting a secure border is racism.
Yeah.
And that's what you're going to get if you're a Democratic candidate for the nomination.
It's going to be interesting to see, because since I think this will be a top issue, where do Americans stand on this? Are more Americans for border security and for control of immigration into the U.S., or are more Americans in favor of no borders any longer?
It's not only that. Is what do you do with the millions of illegals? You go back to that moment in the last Democrat debate just a few weeks ago.
Right.
Who's in favor of giving Medicare, free medical care, to illegals?
Right.
Every one of them raised their hands.
Some of them, though, including Joe Biden, was kind of a half raise.
Yeah. He knew he was being cornered.
Exactly.
How do you get more of something?
What now?
How do you get more of anything? You incentivize it, right?
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see where I'm going with this? So if you're going to offer free health care for anybody who can get into our country, are you not going to get more?
Keep coming.
Of course.
Sure.
You see my point?
Yeah.
So the Democrats, again, to my point earlier, have just incentivized more people pouring in here illegally.
That's why I go to an all-you-can-eat pizza buffet.
I see the equivalency.
Yeah.
I see
it. They say you can pay this much and you get more.
Right. You're going to come back.
I haven't been to a pizza buffet in 2 years.
No, but that's the same principle.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Same principle.
You know, to your point, we've not dealt with this story. Read it on the weekend. There is a Democrat congresswoman from California. This was the story. She has workers down in Mexico advising people how to get into this country illegally.
Yes, mm-hmm. There's a congresswoman.
From California.
California, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She has workers in Mexico helping them to get across the border illegally.
Right.
Yeah. Now, the Mexican government supposedly is doing more now to stop the free flow of traffic through their country.
From Central America, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
It is.
Sandy Rios joins us now. Sandy is the host of Sandy Rios in the Morning. She joins us most Tuesdays here on American Family Radio, and she's Director of Governmental Affairs for American Family Association. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey,
don't talk about immigration. You know, you don't know. I don't care about that.
Are you a citizen?
I never talk about it.
Are you a citizen, Sandy?
I am a citizen.
Okay, good. That's good to know.
Thank goodness.
Sorry. Let me ask you this, Sandy. My question, I think, will be answered next year. I know that people vote for multiple reasons for a president or for any other office. But usually there's one or two issues that come to the fore that loom as the largest. And I'm going to say the issue of illegal immigration and what to do about it, if anything, is going to be number one or number two. The economy probably being number one. Maybe Iran will rise to that level. But do you think more Americans are for President Trump's law and order approach to illegal immigration, or do you think more Americans are for the Democrat position of in essence open borders?
Oh, I don't think there's any way that most Americans are in favor of open borders. I think that's the reason why you're seeing a lot of the Democratic candidates kind of backing away, and you see Nancy Pelosi trying to rein them in because they know that's poison.
Backing away from what?
Backing away from some of them are backing away, like Joe Biden has backed away from his seeming embrace of open borders at the debate, and I think others have as well. I was just looking at a poll on your behalf here. This is Reuters Ipsos. It says that nearly 40% of Republican voters say immigration is the biggest problem, but among all voters, I don't think this is the poll I was looking for, because I got to look at the date on this. I'm sorry. I was trying to do it quickly. I think the latest poll shows that immigration is like second among all registered voters.
Right.
So I think it's a very big deal. I think people are really concerned, Tim. It's just my gut.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't personally done a poll, but I really don't. I think that's a losing issue, this open borders thing.
I hope you're right. I'm just worried, you know, because I see the Democrats... Republicans don't always have all the answers. Don't get me wrong. I'm not Republican right or wrong, but the Democrats are they've lost it. I mean, they're just so far left. But my point is, I'm concerned that I don't want to know the answer to my question. Because when I see half the country voting for Democrats, and they're open borders people, when you cast a vote for a Democrat congressman or senator, or a presidential candidate in this case, Joe Biden raised his hand and said, free medical care for anybody who can get in here. Illegal. I'm for that. He raised his hand. Mm-hmm. Now, he may have been pressured into it by peer pressure, but that's even another problem. But I'm just saying, it makes me wonder. And you see, in California, I think they're free. I think they're for open borders in California. I think citizens there are. I mean, the governor pulled away the National Guard from defending their borders. I don't think Californians, a majority of them, I think a majority of Californians are for free flow of immigrants coming into this country. Well, I'm worried about that. If that's true, if my worry is true, where does that leave us? You know what I'm saying?
I think, what? Sandy, and let me just toss this in and please respond, but I think that when reality sets in for people who by knee-jerk reaction, with compassionate hearts, they think, let's let some of these people in. Because I go to the fact that cities like Seattle, San Francisco are being overrun with homeless people. And initially, people in Seattle, for example, I saw an hour documentary by one of the local television stations up there. They thought, this is good. You know, we need to help homeless people. Now they're overrun with homeless people. And the refuse on the sidewalks and the needles and the homeless, the parks overcome with people camping out. Now they're against it. So I'm wondering, Sandy, some people who might vote for it, of course, it might wind up being too late, might vote for, okay, let's let more people in here. Do they ever change their minds and say, nah, we need to go back to a more restrictive policy?
I think we're actually watching that, to be honest, because remember that, for instance, Joe Biden has gone down in the polls, and you might say Kamala's taken up the air, but I think it's pretty obvious, Tim, from the things I've read after that second Democratic debate, that people are getting skittish about the promises they made for free health care, for illegal immigrants, for open borders, for decriminalizing the borders. I think we know by the behavior of the Democratic leaders that they're not down with that because they know it's not a winning strategy. Now, let me tell you the other reason why I'm encouraged. Over the weekend, I watched the president's tribute to America at the Lincoln Memorial. I don't know if you guys watched it or not.
I did.
It was hard to find.
I did. I watched the whole thing. Hmm.
Okay, so Tim, you might not have seen from the cameras, but in the following, the articles that followed, I saw the crowds. I saw lots of pictures of those crowds. I saw the people after lots of rain coming and going, people getting drenched, still there, packed as far as you could see. From President Trump, there for his, Celebrate America rally. And then I saw a picture of the balloon of President Trump. Now, this is in D.C. where everybody hates President Trump, right? Mm-hmm. So they've got this balloon in the National Mall that mocks him, has him sitting on a toilet and in a diaper. There were like maybe 15, if you're lucky, mm-hmm. people standing around posing for a picture, the ones that had put it up, about 15 people. So now we hear our filter says, our media says, oh, nobody's going to come to that. And President Trump's just trying to, become a dictator and he wants all this military equipment and nobody cares about that. And you get the impression that everybody is like that, you see.
Yeah, it was I didn't watch it live, but Allison texted me. I was doing something else. She texted me, said, this is wonderful. So when we got home that night, pulled it up on my iPad and we watched the whole thing. It was extremely well written and well delivered speech by President Trump. It was extolling the virtues of America, mm-hmm. and freedom and liberty and self-government and the things that Americans had accomplished. It was wonderful. It was nothing about He did go through all the services, the branches of the armed services, and honor them. And they had the military, they had the planes fly over and everything like that. But there was nothing about him. It was not a political speech by any means. So whoever, of course, this brings up the question I have, Sandy, too, for you. You've followed politics a long time and been involved in this. You know, watching what happens in Washington, D.C., you've seen presidents come and go. Why is it, maybe I'm asking too obvious a question, but I still want to know, Why do you think the hatred exists, I mean hatred with a capital H, exists for President Trump from so many people in the Hollywood elites and the political elites? Why this woman who was the best player on our soccer team for the World Cup, I've forgotten her name.
You're talking about Rapinoe? Yes. Megan Rapinoe?
Her. She was asked, are you going to go to the White House? And she used an expletive and said, I ain't going to no expletive White House. I'm not going to know. And then why the hatred for the president? Just answer that one.
I think, first of all, this is, okay, I know I always say this, Tim, but this is a spiritual battle. We're talking about, I'm not saying President Trump is, you know, the angel Gabriel. I'm saying that they sense that he represents things that are just like cross to Dracula. Like in Megan's case, she is a hardcore lesbian. And you'll notice when she was on the field, many times she would stick her tongue out. I asked an ex-gay friend of mine if that was as vulgar a gesture as I thought it was, and he said yes. So we're talking about people who are vulgar and immoral.
Why does she hate
crass.
Trump? Trump doesn't have anything against lesbians.
But he but they are told that he does. And it's like part of this is peer pressure and the bandwagon. It's like you have to be, you know, agree with your peers, and you've got to, and the same thing in Hollywood. Everybody's doing it, and I want to work, so I hate him more. No, I hate him more. No, I hate him more. You know, it really does boil down a lot to that.
Yeah.
But I do think it's just
But you think it's spiritual. You think at its bottom line, it's a spiritual. It's spiritual.
Yes, because he's connected to people. He's openly connected to evangelicals.
Oh,
he is definitely.
Okay.
What he stands, at least what they think he stands for, is the opposite of what they want to stand for. And you ask about the political elites. This is all about power. I mean, it's spiritual for them too, but they know they cannot control him. They cannot use him like they're used to using, you know, selecting candidates and having them do their bidding so that they can enrich themselves and gain power positions for themselves.
Yeah.
They cannot control him. That's why they hate him so much. He must be destroyed because he's messing things up for them.
Yeah.
And so there are a lot of different motivations. Yeah, but
I would say, too, that a lot, not all, but a lot of what is used against President Trump to foster this animosity, which is hatred from some on the left, is based on a falsity. It's based on something that's not true, or at least not altogether true, of the way they present. In other words, they'll say, I hate Trump because he tears children away from their parents on the border. Okay. Well, you can argue that. That's not true. What right. you've just said is not true. And it's no different than the Obama administration right. did as far as handling our issues on the border. So a lot of what they use against President Trump is based on false information. Now, sometimes it's based on accurate information, and they just happen to disagree with how it's handled.
Right.
Like the question on the... Mm-hmm. On census. The census form.
Hey, can I jump in? You always ask me what I've got coming up on the show, and I never tell you because I kind of do a day of.
Go
but
ahead.
I want you to know I've got some great shows coming up. I just interviewed a Sergeant Derek Miller who just got out of Leavenworth, serving 8 years of a life sentence for killing an Afghan soldier. Incredible story. I also have Molly Hemingway and Carrie Severino that are going to be joining me about their new book on the Kavanaugh hearing. Just great
Dynamite.
Information on that. So.
Thanks, Sandy.
You're welcome.
Hey,
talk to you soon.
Okay, that's Sandy Rios. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.